Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Wednesday, March the 19th, 2025, in case you're wondering what to write on your checks today. You don't have to write Wednesday, just write 3/19/25. All right, Ed Vitagliano joins me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Write checks?
Well, you know, it's funny when you said that. We hardly ever write checks anymore.
Right.
I have an appointment this afternoon for the company that put our HVAC unit in a couple of years ago just to come do a little maintenance checkup before the summer. And so I said, you know, how do you pay? Cash, check, card, what? They said, well, cash or check is preferable. If you use the card, you get charged 3%. Mm-hmm. And so now I just wonder if people will start drifting back to writing checks or paying cash.
Because of credit card fees?
Yep.
Yeah, because of fees, even for your debit card.
Yes.
For your debit card.
Yeah.
Hey, Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Glad to be here.
Fred Jackson.
Yes.
Fred, you're just shaking your head.
Yeah, day of celebration.
Why is that?
I got my notice from Atmos this morning.
Oh,
we're going to get our heat back.
Yeah.
It's kind of emotional.
That's been a thing around this part of the state of Mississippi where our flagship station is. They had a natural gas mishap.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Put two individuals in the hospital and almost 20,000 residences and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
No gas. No hot showers.
But it's taken a few days, but it's getting
slowly getting back.
We're at day 9 or 10.
Yep.
And
it's about 10
so. What about you've been? What you been doing for? I don't mean to get personal about your hygiene, Fred, but what about?
He's not showering. I'll just tell you.
Have you been able to shower?
I'm taking the cold showers.
Cold showers.
Canadians do that. They doesn't bother them.
Do you know what? If you want to wake up in the morning,
it's not American.
Well, I know he's Canadian.
There you go.
He learned how to shower in the cold in Canada.
I've had several friends of mine that's had to do that, and then they later find out that they had a family or a friend that had hot shower and they just didn't say anything.
Or
they
did. That's me.
That's you. Yeah.
I had some people ask me to use my shower.
Not doing it.
I said, because I have electricity.
Yeah.
First, I just didn't answer them. I just, you know what I'm saying? I tried to be polite and just not answer them. And then finally got forced yesterday and, I said, well, I'm just sorry. I ain't inviting a bunch of people over to my house to take showers. So if that makes me a bad person, be it.
Those of us who are depending
on... Even if they're family.
Of us who are depending on gas now are taking notes.
Yes.
I know.
Because when the electricity goes
out, and it's going to be... they're going to return the favor. No, you're not coming over to our house.
I was talking to a friend yesterday about this, the same gentleman I was talking about earlier or just now, and I told him, I said, I would almost... drive a half hour, maybe a little more, to get a hot shower and then before I went to work or before the day started or at night or something. But it's about 30 minutes. I'd drive 30 minutes for a hot shower.
One of our staff here is boiling water. Been boiling water.
Oh.
You know, like a Little House on the Prairie bass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That crossed my mind, but I would not get out of my mind now.
Rather take it. Cold shower, but
no.
We have things we need to get to that are far more creative than that. creative? With SpaceX.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, creative, yeah.
I mean, because that's creative, Little House on the Prairie, going back, boiling water.
Boiling water.
But we've advanced a lot since then.
But we got a spacecraft that splashed into a whole bunch of water.
Yes, there you go. Hey, nice transition.
Segue.
Yes. What a spectacular scene late yesterday afternoon off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida.
Now, Tallahassee's not on the coast. Did you know this?
Almost.
Almost. It's
like 50 miles from the coast.
Yes.
Almost hit the coast in Tallahassee, it could be a bad ending. Yes. Is what I'm saying to you.
But I just want to say it did not land in the Gulf of Mexico. It landed in the Gulf of America.
It was off Panama City Beach out there in the Gulf of
America.
Yeah, say it.
This is Gulf of America. This is what happens when someone gets a hot shower and goes to his head.
Right. I'm ready to go. So what happened?
NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, and I think most people know the story now, they got captured up at the space station for 9 months. They were only supposed to stay there a couple of days, but the Boeing spacecraft, something went wrong with it. They could not come home. So they've been up in the space station for 9 months now. Finally, Elon Musk and his SpaceX said, hey, we'll make it available to go up and pick you two folks up. That's exactly what they did. A couple days ago, they went up there, picked them up, and yesterday that spacecraft came back. And it was exciting. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can see the whole thing on YouTube. And we've captured a little bit of the audio from the SpaceX announcer as the spacecraft was coming down last evening. Cut number 9.
And splashdown. Crew 9 back on Earth.
It went off without a flaw.
Now, who explain who those people were that were clapping.
That's all the SpaceX people who work on these things. One of the interesting facts when I was just watching this morning and listening to the commentary, this spacecraft comes through the atmosphere at 17,000 miles an hour. And by the time it touched down with those four big parachutes, it was down to about 14 miles per hour. It was just spectacular, the whole operation.
There was at least two layers of parachutes. One that, you know, as it...
The initial two.
Yep.
That breaks the speed.
That's right.
And then they let out those four big ones.
Now, I guess it floats, right? I mean, or were they just close by?
It floated until the recovery vessels came in.
And all of this used to be solely the federal government. Mm-hmm. Doing this. Mm-hmm. And then SpaceX, and this is, they call it the SpaceX Dragon. I guess most people have seen videos of SpaceX rockets after they go up into space and deploy a satellite or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they don't just crash, land, or stay up in the atmosphere, becoming more space junk. They actually come back to Earth and land. You see these big arms gripping it. It's phenomenal, the technology mm-hmm. that Elon Musk's SpaceX has deployed. And he wants to go to Mars, which I think is crazy. But this is how things
crazy
advance.
As in wild, or crazy as in he's mentally unstable?
No, there are so many technological hurdles to putting human beings on Mars so they can survive.
Yeah.
Because it's a long journey too. You can't just say, oh, well, like this here, mm-hmm. you know, where SpaceX says we'll send up a recovery and a craft and take them home. And it's a few days.
That's what I was going to ask. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I'm curious. I didn't read. How long did it take from the time they left Earth to there and back?
I guess it was just a few days. Wasn't it? When did this rocket go?
Oh, it only takes a matter of hours to get there to the space station.
Okay.
Coming back, they did a couple of rotations around the Earth and then settled down last evening.
That's just fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff usually doesn't interest. It's not something I go out of my way to study or look up, But when you come across this, like I'm doing now, it's fascinating that we can send people around that go just around, float or fly around the Earth.
Yep. They use the Earth's gravity pull, and they put it into a trajectory around, and that's been going on. See, what happened is the federal government basically stopped funding this.
Yeah.
And NASA contracted with Boeing and with SpaceX. And you remember the Boeing spacecraft that took Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams up, there was a problem with it. And they had to return that spacecraft empty. That's what happened. They got stuck up there for 9 months.
I want to know the real reason, and maybe Elon Musk has already shared this. I know he and one of the astronauts confirmed it, who reaffirmed what Elon Musk has said. I want to know, is it true that these two astronauts could have been brought down a few months back, for example, but were denied the opportunity because President Biden said, no, you can't go get them? Is that true or not?
The one of the astronauts, Butch Wilmore, was asked that by a reporter 2 weeks ago, and he said that's exactly what happened. He was
that's appalling if that's true.
Yeah. Elon Musk says this. He made this available, well, now it's about a month ago. And before the election, pardon me.
Yes.
Before the election. And Elon Musk says, we made the offer, but we were turned down when Biden was still president. And they believe it's for political reasons.
But the astronaut that was interviewed was specific in saying
yes.
that it was for political
yes.
reasons.
And that is another layer of proof or subjective evidence, because it's one thing for Elon Musk to say that, even though I'm not saying he's, you know, misleading people, but for the left to hear it from an astronaut, that's undeniable. I mean, at that point, you just have to concede that's what happened, unless there's any other evidence. Unless Joe Biden's going to, former President Joe Biden, unless he or his administration is going to come out and deny it.
Right.
I mean.
Well, yes. I would like to hear more on this.
It is a fact that Elon Musk and SpaceX
returned down.
Could have
yeah, absolutely.
Gotten
absolutely.
Yep. And Elon Musk said, we offered. So I'm guessing he's not lying about that.
Right. So Biden or whoever was going to control the White House would have said no, no thank you.
They would have had to have said no. Now, as to what would no, the motivation you. Was behind that.
I'll tell you what the motivation was. Excuse me for interrupting you. The motivation was Elon Musk was aligned with Donald Trump
yeah.
in the run for the presidency. And if Biden had let Elon Musk go up and get these two, the spotlight would have been on him. Well, who's he affiliated with? Who's he supporting? Because he's a successful guy. Well, he's supporting Donald Trump for president. Well, that makes Trump look good. Biden's saying, if Biden needs him in control.
Again, right.
That big caveat. I don't want him to get credit. So I'm just
what other explanation could there be?
Right, I'm just going to leave him stuck up there in space.
Yeah. They're supposed to be up there for a week to 10 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were up there for 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
And the reason was the Boeing craft had a problem with it. I think it was something to do with the docking. Mm-hmm. And SpaceX could have gotten them down. And they offered. And
yeah.
What other explanation
could there
be?
Imagine if that's your family member and you yeah. learn this. You learn that the previous administration were denied going to get your uncle, your mom, your boy son because of political reasons. I mean, that would be.
Fred, do you have any idea whether the mainstream media has covered this rescue? I know Fox has. Fox, yeah, have they been covering this?
The Associated Press did something with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Good.
If you want to go down a rabbit hole, go start look at this because
I don't
already,
this show, and I guard against it. I'm here. That's my mission.
Yeah. Mission control.
Between that and the popcorn.
Yeah.
No, this is just awesome. You got to go video wise. You got to go watch the video. Then I've got so many questions.
Yeah.
Just watching this.
You mean how this works?
Yes, how this works.
Well, yeah.
I need to go find. Was it Discovery Channel that used to have How It Works, or
Yeah, before I think before they started focusing on aliens.
I always wondered, you know, when I'm looking around this room and I'm not seeing, I'm not seeing much understanding of NASA.
The scientific brain power.
Or aerospace engineering. I'm just not seeing it in y'all's
eyes. You
didn't
want to use the word dynamics there? Is it
Seeing.
The scientific brain power inside of this studio.
Right. Is non-existent.
In a juice box.
All right, so.
In an astronaut juice box.
But somebody does.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, evidently, evidently, and obviously, we have some great engineering minds in this country and internationally. But going all the way back to the space program of the 60s and the 50s and the 60s, and we put a man on the moon in 1969, right?
Right.
If you believe that. what? Am I the only person who's skeptical?
I am not skeptical.
We're going to get into the JFK files in just a minute.
I'm not skeptical at all.
This is not the rabbit hole I was talking about.
Okay. So anyway, it is amazing the God-given talents that these folks have to be able to put together.
Yeah.
Put together a spacecraft. Mm-hmm. In the first place, that goes into the outer space, and
it doesn't burn up.
Yeah, it doesn't burn up. Doesn't do things.
It has
operates enough, efficiently.
How does it have enough? These are just my mind's oxygen. How do they have enough oxygen for nine months?
Right.
You got an answer?
Yeah, they're in canisters, compressed.
I can't tell. I'm gonna go to. I'm gonna go.
Canisters.
We're going to go to Fred here. Fred.
Well, remember Apollo 13, the one that had the explosion in space? Well, the reason there are gases that go with the spacecraft that produce oxygen and also absorb the carbon dioxide that the astronauts are producing. So they figure all that out, too. And that's the extent that I know that.
Well, I'll pick it up from there, Fred, because my knowledge exceeds that. But if you're just thinking about this, somewhere back there, they had to have the first meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, at NASA or whatever. Hey, let's get Bill and Roy and Eugene together Monday morning, because we're going to orbit the Earth. Okay.
Right.
So make sure everybody's there. You know, at this meeting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody had to have this first meeting, and I will say this to America. There's something, and no disrespect to any other country, because everybody's got their specialty, but American ingenuity, as it's called, is on full display in human history, unparalleled by any other country, and it's not because of the genetics of the people who happen to live in Montana or Florida or New Hampshire or whatever. There's nothing about that that separates somebody that lives in Japan or Canada or the Congo or whatever. Here's the thing. It's the American entrepreneurial and spirit and the freedom that we are allowed in this country to explore and to invent. And to, I need to be a speaker like at a graduation. Are you hearing this?
I'm here.
This is just blowing off the top of my head.
I got goosebumps.
Well, I invented goosebumps. Yes. A lot of people don't know that.
You took my attention away from the video here.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Well, I'm just saying that if you look at the history of our country, because of freedom and liberty and also the right to make money from your hard work and your inventions.
I want to interrupt you, but the word Elon Musk is a big deal.
Patent.
In America.
Yes, intellectual property. You look at Elon Musk. Of course, he's from South Africa originally, but he came to the U.S. to study, and then he started companies in the U.S. Why? Because he could make, because he likes the challenge, obviously, but he can make a lot of money. And he became the richest man in the world. So I'm just saying, if you look over the history of the U.S., and you will see how many contributions we have made to the advancement of humankind, and it's because of freedom.
Hot showers.
Yeah, and hot showers. Well, hot showers are something we take for granted.
Hey, microwave popcorn, yeah. Frozen pizza.
Right.
You're welcome,
keep
world.
On going, Ed. Keep naming the top 10 list of American contributions.
By the way, Elon Musk stopped off in Canada before he came to the States.
Oh, that's
I just wanted.
Yeah, he picked up some stuff in Canada, too. All right, you're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred.
One more thing on the astronauts. Be praying for them.
Yeah.
They have a big physiological recovery, both of these individuals, because living in zero gravity for 9 months does some weird things to your muscles, to your bone density.
Yeah, can they even walk?
No, they were carried out last night. They just, you know, that's what happens. Zero gravity.
You lose muscle mass? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, big time. So be praying for them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they will go to the White House as soon as they're able.
Yes.
That's what President Trump said.
Yeah.
About this.
And also congratulations to Elon Musk and his team and SpaceX for getting it
and
done.
And Elon Musk was gracious too, because he said, this is what Elon Musk said. Thanks to the excellent work of the SpaceX team working with NASA, the astronauts are now safely home, and so congratulations to the SpaceX NASA teams on our excellent work. So Elon Musk congratulating both his company and NASA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. We only have a few minutes before the break. Let's stay with Elon Musk.
Okay.
Because he is being persecuted right now because of his association with Donald Trump. We have a story on AFN.net, where it kind of outlines the violence that is being carried out against individual Tesla cars, Tesla dealerships, Molotov cocktails being used to explode Tesla cars in Portland, Oregon, in Seattle, windows being shot out. And it's under investigation now. Trump's Justice Department, Pam Bondi, Attorney General, and Trump is calling it domestic terrorism is what's going on right now. All because, and remember, Elon Musk was a hero of the left not too long ago. And everybody was saying, go out and buy Tesla cars. Now, because of association with Donald Trump, you really do have domestic terrorism going on out there against these vehicles. So far, the good news, no individual has been hurt. But these businesses are under attack. All because he's trying to do something for the president.
Yeah, these aren't just protests.
No.
There have been some protests, but these you're talking about aren't just protests where people are, you know, First Amendment, you know, demanding that Elon Musk stop doing this or whatever. This is lighting cars on fires, dealerships on fire. I've seen a number of videos, and this is small numbers, but on X, videos of people keying a Tesla, just a random Tesla in a parking lot.
Yeah.
They just walk up and destroy it, you know, and carve it up simply because it's a Tesla and they don't like Elon Musk. It's the left has lost its mind.
Yeah.
And that's becoming clearer and clearer.
Well, they had one, though, right, at one time?
They did, apparently.
Have a mind?
Yeah, had a mind. They've lost it.
I keep hearing about the blue collar Democrats, your granddad's Democrat, that kind of thing. I don't actually remember those days, but the way it's described is far from what we're seeing now.
Yeah, that, as the expression goes, that was not your dad's Democratic Party.
Yep, that one.
That used to be a traditional class, kind of more classical liberal perspective and worldview. Republicans were conservative, Democratic Party was liberal, but the Democratic Party's been almost completely taken over by radical
hijacked.
Hijacked. And that's why normal Democrats, I use air quotes, are so distraught about who's in charge of our party and where's it headed.
All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Lots more stories to get to and to cover that are in the news. Also, our good friend Robert Gagnon will be with us in a few minutes. He says that the Democrat Party, speaking of the Democrat Party today, in some ways are supporting our demons.
demonic.
Demonic, I should say. And that may sound funny to people, but he's got his reasons. And he'll be back to talk about it when we continue.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Again, we're all happy here for the two astronauts and their families and the team at SpaceX and NASA for bringing the two astronauts home who've been stuck up in the International Space Station for 9 months when they signed up for a week.
I'm glad we spent the whole first segment on it. It deserved that.
Yeah.
It deserved a whole segment.
And you need to go watch. If you haven't seen the video, you need to go watch it of the splashdown. It's pretty incredible. So, again, 9 months. I can't, you know, imagine.
And it's not like they had.
Who broke the news to them every. Who broke the news? This is where
families,
you send it. This is where you send a text. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not getting on the video with them. Going, hey, so how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good news and bad news.
Yeah, we got good
well,
news.
Well, mostly bad news.
So, you got plenty of food, right? Okay, well, it's gonna be not much before we're able to bring y'all home. I'm sorry, what?
Well, if Elon Musk had not done this, how long would they have been up there?
That's true.
RIP'd.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That is a bizarre.
Anyway.
I didn't mean to bring
it up. I saw this is one commercial where a fella is, I don't know what they're advertising. Maybe they're advertising a cell phone service or whatever. And anyway, it's a office setting, and they're like three office staff, and they're like, talking amongst themselves, and then in comes their HR or supervisor, and it says, and then he makes the gentleman makes a comment to the people, and then he walks away and he starts texting, and one of the people say, well, he always delivers good news in person and bad news by text. So they were expecting bad news to be coming their way because he was walking away texting.
That's funny.
Anyway, all right, so we want to welcome back to our program Robert Gagnon, and he is a visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary, also a prolific writer and comments and does articles on culture, politics, religion, and American the Judeo-Christian values, American way of life, all those things. Robert writes on church and state. And he joins us now because he wrote a very provocative article right here. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well, although I'm a little surprised that you accused me of a provocative article.
I know. Well, most of them are pretty bland, to be honest with you, and just okay.
Well, who was it that said that in times of whatever, I can't remember the exact quote, telling the truth is a radical act?
I know.
I know. Provocative.
Well, okay, so I teased this segment saying you were going to be on by saying you had used the word demonic to describe some things that the Democrat Party was supporting. Was I right about that?
Yes, I would just sharpen it a little to say that the party itself is demonic. And I think Christians now need to own up to the truth on this issue, that we have two main parties. They're both non-Christian, although one of them is certainly more responsive to Christian concerns, because Christians make up a larger percentage of that party than the other. They're both non-Christian, but only one is demonic. And the reason for that is there, I think we know, your hearers know who we're talking about here, but there's only one party that makes, as its reason for existence, its raison d'etre, LGBTQ immorality and abortion. And it's defining those two things as idols of this party that define this party as demonic. And I want readers to remember this, or hearers to remember this, and that is that Christians cannot empower a party whose two greatest idols affect the destruction of God's two greatest creation concerns. Let me repeat that. Christians cannot empower a party whose two greatest idols affect the destruction of God's two greatest concerns in creation.
Amen. Well, amen. I mean, amen in the sense that you are correct, sir. Let me tell folks, I know, Wesley, you have the next question for Robert, but this is an excellent article that we're discussing by our guest, Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N. And we have posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can find it there. Today's Issues, our Facebook page, and the articles by Robert Gagnon, our guest. And the headline is, "Our two main parties are non-Christian, but only one is demonic." This originally appeared in the American Spectator, for those wanting to know. Wesley, your question for Robert?
Yes, Robert, this is Wesley here. Just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, because we have, as Christians and our listening audience, we engage with those that disagree with us, you know, throughout the week. And so we need to be able to have a good answer for this. And so you got two parties. Obviously, everything you've said, I completely agree with. However, how do you handle the issue of, well, the Republicans, they have their issues as well, and are not all sins equal? Or not, are, you know what I mean?
Yes, and what we first have to say is, no, all sins are not equal. Some sins are far more injurious and detrimental to God's creation than other sins. And this is a constant view running throughout Scripture, that some sins are more severe than other sins, right? Take a classic example of Israel in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And God tells Moses to go down because Israel is sinning a great sin. Well, you can't have a great sin if all sins are equal. So some sins are more severe than others because they strike at the very heart of creation. And creation, what are the two most significant elements of the creation text in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? They are Genesis 1:27, male and female, God created them in his image and in his likeness. So human image bearing integrated with the creation of two primary sexual counterparts, the only two sexes that God ever intentionally created. And then the other main text is in Genesis 2:21-24 about the institution of marriage, which reinforces this point about the creation of male and female biologically. Sexual counterparts complementary to each other on the level of anatomy and physiology and even psychology, the organization of their bodies for sexuality and reproduction. And those two texts are widely recognized in early Christian circles as the most important texts in the entire Bible for defining human sexuality. Do we know who that was that told us that? Are the two most important texts? Jesus himself. So when Jesus dealt with a question about sexuality in Mark 10, parallel in Matthew 19, what did he do? He singled out those two texts. Male and female, he created them. And that's in the context of bearing God's image and likeness. And also Genesis 2:24, for this reason, a man may become joined to a woman, and the two become one flesh. The Democratic Party's two greatest idols are diametrically opposed to these two greatest concerns in creation. What is abortion? Abortion shatters the notion of human image bearing, the imago Dei in human beings, willing to kill innocent human beings for the sake of convenience. And, of course, LGBTQ immorality, and now especially the transgender tyranny, is the other great idol or concern or reason for the existence of the Democratic Party. So when you have a party devoted to two great idols, which themselves are aimed at the destruction of God's two greatest concerns in creation, you have the definition of a demonic party.
Amen.
Fred?
Yeah, Robert, we may have people listening right now, and we may have people sitting in pews in our churches right now who say, I don't agree with abortion, and I stand against transgenderism and homosexuality, but I vote Democrat because there's some other things in that party that I approve of. What do you say to those individuals?
Yes, it doesn't mean just because the Democratic Party is demonic that there aren't other things that somebody might favor. But again, one has to discern what is most significant. And an assault on the two greatest concerns of God in creation defines the party, since these are not only isolated concerns of the party, but they rise to the very top of the party's main concerns. I live in Pennsylvania. As you know, Pennsylvania was the most important swing state in the last election. And virtually every commercial that we had in the 2 months leading up to the election was a campaign commercial. And virtually every single commercial by the Democratic Party featured abortion as their primary concern. Now you say, well, what about LGBTQ immorality? That would have featured as their main concern also, if not for the fact that early on they learned in polling that they cannot get any traction in terms of voting on that issue. In fact, they lose votes. And you can argue that what the Trump campaign did is they played the transgender issue in numerous commercials I could see online. Once they got that, it took them a while to get to that point. But once they did, they realized, hey, this gains enormous traction because it touches so many areas of human life. So we can, my point in that is saying, you see how these are the two primary concerns of that party? And not only is it the case that these are the two primary concerns of that party, but how is it that they secure the exaltation of those concerns in society? By a series of other evils, like clamping down on free speech, mandatory transgender pronouns, clamping down on free exercise of religion, forcible indoctrination into LGBTQ immorality of young people, of minors, lawfare against Christians who disagree with them on these two great idols, the appointment of hard left judges that treat the Constitution like silly putty, and all sorts of threats to children, chemical castration, abortion, threats to women, males and female private spaces, sports, shelters, prisons, threat to employment if you don't agree with these two great idols, even if you post on social media outside of work, threats to the home, eliminating parental rights when they conflict with LGBTQ promotion, and threats even on the church and on Christian education. So when we see not only what the two greatest idols are, but also all the ancillary strategies that they use to promote these idols, we see there's no question this is a demonic party.
Yeah. All right, we're talking to Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N. The article he wrote is called "Our Two Main Parties Are Non-Christian, But Only One Is Demonic." And we posted that on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go there and read it. And Robert also serves as the as a visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary. You want to give us 30 seconds on Wesley Biblical Seminary?
Great institution. If you want an institution that stands solidly for the Lord, to get an education that's not fearful of human beings but takes on the central issues of our time, go to Wesley Biblical Seminary.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
God's blessings to you all.
Thank you. You know, another evidence of this, and as Robert says, and I've talked about this before, the politics in America is secular. By that, I mean non-religious, for in terms of having a religious doctrine or
it's not a theocracy.
A creed or something. It's the political parties are made up of people of all stripes in terms of their religious backgrounds. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. So
I'm following you so far, but okay. I feel like I'm going to lose you.
No, you're not going to lose.
All right.
Hang in there.
You, though.
Look at me.
All right. I'm looking.
Look at me. Feel me right here. Okay. But they're made up, those parties, while they're secular, and yeah, I just defined how I mean that, non-religious. They are made up of people who are religious or non-religious, as it were. And in the case, and those people have a impact on the policies that are adopted by those parties, in this case, Republican and Democrat.
Yep.
You follow me now?
I'm following you.
So with respect to the Democrats, I don't know where and when this actually happened, because as you guys have said, they have a long storied tradition in our country, and many, many Christians have been Democrats over the decades. And it used to be that basically Democrats and Republicans were made up of Christians and Jews and people. It was basically 50-50, maybe even more people who were identified as Christians identified as Democrats in the middle of the 20th century.
Add this too, and the two issues that Robert just talked about right. was not their priority.
No, that yes, that's what. So I wrote a column on this that'll be in the next the Stand about the difference between red and blue states and why it exists, and that is the more religious a state is, the more red it is, or the redder it is, and that's just.
Redder's a good
And you go,
word,
why is that?
Too.
Why is that? It's because the people who go to church in the red states more than the people who go to church in the blue states believe in God. And they believe in the Bible. And they believe in right and wrong. So they have objective
accountability.
And they apply that to their politics. You see what I'm saying? Whereas the hardcore blue folks, the hardcore Democrats, they hate us. They hate, in fact, they often talk about people in red states as being uneducated and ignorant.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unsophisticated. And so they basically have become, a lot of them, godless. And Robert said, but they do have idols.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, in the last 10 to 20 years in particular, the celebration of abortion like a golden calf has become obsessive with the with people who are on the far left. And that's what Robert's talking about.
It's beyond a political exchange, and it doesn't even make sense politically at times for them to continue to obsess over it, yet they continue to do it.
Yeah, so you go, well, there are many issues to consider here.
Yeah, that's right.
But a lot of these lefties, they just go, no. Well, there are, but the main ones are the right to abortion and this and the promotion of the LGBTQ. Now, here's the main point I wanted to get to, and having set the backdrop there, and that is this. How many times have I seen interviews with people who are in the Democrat Party over the last year, two, 3 years, and the question is put to them, now, by a lot of people, by a lot of reporters who are pro-abortion, they won't put this question to them, but you do see it, and they say, when do you want to limit abortion? 3 months? Yeah. 6 months? When do you, a pro-abortion advocate, or you call yourself pro-choice, when does it cross the line for you? When the baby's coming out the birth canal?
Yeah.
Or when? And they either, A, won't answer that question,
mm-hmm.
because they know how terrible it sounds to yeah. say, no, I'm for abortion through the full 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they? Are some of them, in rare a moment of honesty, will say, I don't think you should, that any abortion should be stopped,
mm-hmm.
including right before the baby comes down the birth canal.
Yep.
And in fact, the former governor of Maryland, a Democrat, former governor of Virginia, Northam, was that his name?
Uh-huh.
Remember this infamous interview he did?
Uh-huh.
Democrat. This is before Youngkin. And he was asked about this. What about if the baby is born alive during a botched abortion? What do you do then? And he said, he didn't say you need to try to save the baby's life. He said, well, you put the baby on a table and try to keep it comfortable while it dies.
Yep.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but not by much. Do you guys remember this?
No, absolutely.
Like it was, I thought, remember like it was yesterday.
I thought that epitomized. So when Robert Gagnon says this is demonic, what I just described as this governor, former governor of Virginia, saying let the baby who survived a botched abortion just die on a table.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's demonic.
It is.
You see what I'm saying? And that's the view that many Democrats have today, unfortunately.
Yep. And just to add one thing, when I interrupted you earlier, just to elaborate a little more. So it's one thing for the Democrats to do this politics sways and the wind blows and they go, well, this season or this time in history, abortions are things. So politically speaking, we have no God. So therefore we're going to go with this. But when the polls say that it's 25th or 26th or 27th on the list in the 2024 election of people's cares or concerns, the abortions all the way down there, yet they make it their number one in their ads, just goes to show you it is their golden calf.
They are trying to, as best they can, continue to exploit the overturning of Roe versus Wade to scare middle America into believing that the Republicans are going to institute a total abortion ban.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to vote Democrat to keep this from happening. Now, there's no truth to that, okay, that Republicans are going to try to push for a national abortion ban.
Sure.
American people would not support that. But the Democrats try to use that kind of like they try to use Social Security. Republicans are going to cut off Social Security. Therefore, you need to vote for Democrats. You know how this.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen this one
yeah.
before. So when Robert Gagnon is talking, Republicans and Democrats basically in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and it began to change in. Basically, they disagreed on how can we best pave a highway,
yeah.
or should we spend more on social services or on the military? There were philosophical differences that you could argue either way.
Just war, or not just war. Should we get involved in this one, not in that one?
Yes, but they weren't questions about what defines a man or a woman.
That,
you know what I'm saying? Are questions that are directly in scriptural,
right?
Ed, does that?
Yeah, I think it's clear that the cult, we've said this many times, the culture war, what we call the culture war or culture wars in this country, if you were to dig down to the central issue, it is, do you believe in God? And do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe that he prefers one set of behaviors or another? Do you believe we're going to answer to God for that? All those kinds of questions are at the center. And because the Democratic Party, by and large, is hostile to the God of the Bible. I go back to 2012 at the convention when they kept the language. So they had some language in their party platform.
That was in Charlotte. I remember this.
Yeah, some language in the party platform about God. They booed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they did not want God included in the party platform. Okay, so if you're going to be hostile to God, then who's left to make the decisions about your life? I am. And if you look at abortion and the LGBTQ issues, at heart, those are issues that Democrats support because they believe I am in charge of my life and nobody else can tell me what to do, especially God. So if a baby gets in my way, I'm going to run it over through an abortion. And if I want to have sexual relations with whoever I want to, as long as it's consensual and we use protection, then no one can tell me what to do. And that all comes at the core to their issue of who's in charge. Is it God or is it me?
And thank goodness that we have a now, I understand we don't always follow it the best and do, you know, we're living in a fallen world, but thank goodness that we have a constitution and a bill of rights and that we live in a country that we do, because we're able to, with time, survive some of these things. Because when they use phrases, and the left has hijacked language better than anybody. Mm-hmm. When they say pro-choice, they're only pro-choice on that issue. They weren't pro-choice on the mask. I mean, like, there's dozens of issues.
Well, they're not pro-choice for the baby.
Right. I mean, right. Well, and
baby has no choice
that's
in
right.
their world.
But they won the language early on. Yeah. But with time in America, people start going, no, you're not really pro-choice. Right. With time.
The vast majority of Americans are repelled at the idea of allowing abortion through 9 months of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Now, they're not for zero either. I'm talking about the vast majority of American people, but certainly not for where the Democrats are. This extreme idea of abortion being allowed and promoted through 9 months of pregnancy. We'll be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.